Many a lonely child has found solace in an imaginary friend, one that provides reassurance, guidance, and companionship. In the 1956 French short film The Red Balloon, that friend is a balloon that often seems to have a mind of its own and accompanies Pascal, a little boy, on a series of mostly wordless adventures through the streets of Paris. There are lessons to be learned along the way about the world of the imagination and the cruelties children can inflict on one another. The story has become a children's classic, and playwright Annie Cusick-Wood has adapted The Red Balloon for the Honolulu Theater for Youth with atmospheric Parisian music by Pierre Grill, and both Annie and Pierre are with us in our studio. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning. Hi.
Thanks for coming in. Music is very much a part of telling this story, isn't it, Annie?
Yeah, it absolutely is, because as you said, it is a wordless film. I think we hear Balloon at one point in the film and that's it. So
yeah.
When I was creating the show, we had I was looking for a musician and I found Pierre Grill, who is French,
uh-huh,
and who his music had the exact correct style, kind of fun style, because the film is a beautiful, tender, poetic piece of work, you know, Oscar winning,
yeah,
and very much loved by many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to find, you know, what I always say is, what can I bring to it? What can I bring to this stage adaptation that isn't in the film? So a wonderful new score is one, and one that highlights and charts the journey of Pascal. Another thing that we bring, of course, is a lot of humor, because it is a very, very sad film. So I've really delved into each character, and so did Pierre when we were creating the music. You know, we have a theme for each of the characters in the show. It was a really fun collaboration working with him and to create this great score.
Here's a sample of Pierre's music. It'll give you a pretty good idea. Well, I think most people, Pierre, would hear that and think Paris right away, right?
Yeah.
Why would they? The accordion, the waltz tempo.
That's it. You're stuck with all this stuff. The tubas and all the sweet clown music is
uh-huh,
there. All from Nino Rota, the Fellini movies, is what the whole sound is about.
Where it's almost the sound of the street.
Yeah,
becomes part of the music, right? You wouldn't want to hear it entirely in a sterile environment. You kind of want to hear.
No, it is street music.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting, because a lot of the action happens out on the street as well in the film. You know, we have our setting is beautiful. It's a designer friend of mine from Scotland who designed it, and you know, we have these two cubes that spin and whirl, so we're kind of in this, we don't have a scene change, but they move around and they open up and they become different landscapes. So we're always out in the street, and as you rightly said, like that piece particularly, that was the janitor's theme. If you watch the movie, you might go, well, who's the janitor? But there is a little clip of the janitor at the school with Pascal. So we've taken him and given him a relationship with the balloon as well, you know. So we have developed those characters with their music, but it is very true. It's very true to the film, you know, the play, I believe.
But in translating it to a theatrical environment, you're asking your very young audience to go in for some suspension of disbelief.
We
right?
are all playing a huge game of let's pretend,
yeah,
you know, and that's what I love about the theater, and that's what I love about this, working on this adaptation in particular, because, you know, we had no dialogue to start. So every word that we say on stage is there because we need to. There's not a lot of words. Quite a few are in French, which the children are loving right now, H2Y. You know, they're repeating it, and they're saying, that means goodbye, you know, and they're, like, translating it. So, yeah, there's...
You know, one of the things that I've noticed in your shows before, Annie, is that you don't... you expect a fair amount of your very young audience, and they respond. That you're
yeah.
not you don't talk down to them, you don't patronize them. If you want to present them with a difficult subject that they may or not be able to handle, you go ahead and do that, and they seem to be able to handle it. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yeah, we really do. You know, we don't play it down. I mean, the film was you know, it's hailed as a great film for children, but in fact, it was probably the first art film for children. It was real art. It was artful. It was beautifully shot, and it challenged the kids. You know, sometimes I think the kids at the end, you know, when the balloon gets popped at the end, some children go, "You can't do that. We're children," you know. Actually, you know, this is a world that we live in where people will want to destroy your dreams, you know. But of course, you know, I do take them in that journey, right down to that, you know, so they can feel for Pascal, and they really do, you know. Like a couple of kids said to me, it made me sad or it made me cry. But of course, the redemption at the end, everybody leaves with spontaneous applause and cheering and so filled with happiness and joy. But yeah, I don't play it down. Well, I expect them.
Before that redemption can come, there has to be a pretty troubling event.
Yeah, it really is. You can hear a pin drop in the theater when in that moment. I at one point I thought, if this is all I do in my career as a children's playwright, give these kids this moment of art and suspense and empathy and anticipation, then that's enough. It was just, it's gorgeous. So I really take them there.
You know, one of the things that, taking back my own memories of childhood, is so many things that attempt to reach out to children don't give them enough credit.
Yeah.
I remember feeling that a lot as a kid. Hey, I'm a little bit more able to process things than you, the adult, are giving me credit for.
Yeah,
right?
I think we do that well at HTY. And I have to say, Pierre's music as well is so rich and beautiful that they, you know, the children could sit in an audience in a theater for 50 minutes and just listen to the music, and that would be really phenomenal as well. So that really, you know, it charts the journey and the emotional journey beautifully, and they're with it. They're with it all the time. And it's the music at the end, the way that he has the finale, that sends him into that along with the image, that sends him into this huge applause at the end and moment of joy.
Pierre, let's play another sample of your music. Well, Pierre, it's one of the limitations of radio that our listeners can't see how you choreographed that, but what was the kind of visual image when you did that particular piece? What were you thinking about?
We had meeting with Annie, and we created the music. Trissa, it came to my mind the way she speaks, the way she mouthed the whole play. I recorded the whole thing. I got shut off. Okay, I'm back on the air. Anyway, she mouthed the whole play, and she did all the dialogue. And the way she animates everything, boom, 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 the music just, the Madonna gives it to me, you know?
So you kind of, Annie, you kind of took Pierre through the story in real time.
It was really fun. I went to the studio every week
I had all the scenes, all 14 of them, all mapped out in time. No time match anything, but that's okay. It was a starting point, and then so I could, I need this, and then they finally don't talk, so I can make my music, you know. But I have to say something. Monday morning I had the most incredible experience. Monday morning was the first show for the kids at school, and I was down there and I saw the show for the first time, finished and everything. I didn't have time to go to many rehearsals. I had movies. And then so here I was with all those kids and watching that show for the first time, finished. And I was high for 2 days after that. I could never land. It was incredible. And those kids, they didn't drop a knife for 50 minutes. They just went like fascinated. It's when you see all the project for kids and blah, 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 it's not easy to do. The little lady, Annie there, she never drops a second of attention. They just stuck with it. And at the end, they just explode. And they laugh, and they laugh like nuts for the whole time. I mean, it's really a wonderful show.
Well, Annie and Pierre, you both make it sound like a wonderful show. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Chris. Thank you.
Annie Cusick-Wood is the author and director of the Honolulu Theater for Youth production of The Red Balloon, adapted from the 1956 film by Albert Lamorisse. It opens tomorrow, runs Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. until January 27th at Tenney Theater on the grounds of the Cathedral of St. Andrew. It's suggested for ages 5 and up.